God bless you, brother. I'm glad to be here this morning. Interesting to see so many faces from different places, and probably not all of them from close by. But it's exciting to be part of God's work. It's exciting to be close, watching things happen, watching God dealing in our lives. I don't think it's only dealing in the lives of the people of Lancaster County, but it's dealing in mine and everyone that allows Him free control in his life. Today, for a message, I'd like to speak about the account of the rich young ruler. I titled my message, Turning It All Loose. So I'd like to turn to that passage in Mark 10. I don't know, this passage had, for a time, had sort of, maybe not confused me, but I sort of shied away from it. Maybe not, I'd read it. It's not that I wouldn't read it. I knew that if there was a part of the Bible I wouldn't read, that wasn't good. But I didn't quite understand it, and it was just a little bit confusing to me. Okay, does this mean that I'm supposed to sell everything I have, or what does this mean? And I still don't have very many answers about it. I'm not here trying to say exactly what this means. But I don't know. I read a book recently. Actually, I edited a book for Gary Miller for Christian Aid Ministries, TGS. And that was sort of a life-changing experience to me as far as financial situation. And I don't know, I just want to share some things that I have been able to glean from it. So let's turn to Mark 10, verse 17. And let's just read that passage. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running, and kneeled to him and asked him, Good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these things I have observed from my youth. And then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatever thou hast, and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about, and saith unto his disciples, How heartily shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answereth again, and saith unto them, Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, Who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or fathers or mother or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake and the gospel's. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first. In this account, this young man runs up to Jesus and he says, Jesus, I just want to make sure that I'm saved. I just want to make sure. What do I need to do? Is there anything, Jesus? I'd really like to know. And I believe that was... that was sort of what I wanted too, was the Lord. I don't know, I sort of can relate to this feeling. You know, Lord, is there anything else? You know, are you asking something of me? And Jesus turned around, he said, Well, have you kept the commandments? He said, Yeah, I've done that. I've kept all the, it names them there. I've kept all those things. And Jesus didn't argue with him, he didn't say, You didn't. He was a clean young man, he hadn't done anything great. Any great sin or any, I don't know, or at least he kept the commandments according to the law of the Old Testament, which was what the Lord had required of the people back then. So Jesus didn't really say anything. He just said, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you've got and start giving it to the poor. And it says here that Jesus loved him. I don't see a Jesus that says, hey, go sell your stuff to the poor. Go get rid of your stuff. You got too much. He wasn't fussing at him. He loved him. I suppose Jesus took the time to stop, look in his eyes and say, you know, there's just one more thing. If you could just do this yet, you'd be blessed beyond measure. I think he was probably like, now what? What's going to happen now? What's Jesus saying? Is he saying that I'm supposed to sell everything I have. And right away he went to the thought of his real estate, of his house, his lands. I don't know what all he had, but he said he had great possessions. And of course, we all know the story. He went away grieved, for he had many possessions. It's a sad story, a sad ending to a sad story. I choose to believe that not near all endings would end that way. It's sad. But he went away grieved because he had too many possessions. Jesus looked around about him and told his disciples, "It's hard that the people that have riches enter the kingdom of heaven." And the disciples were astonished. "Oh, how are we going to do this? If we have riches, we can't enter? Is that what he's trying to say?" But then he again clarifies, and here he actually widened the thought. "Children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of heaven." He took it a step further, not just have them, but trust in them. Well, then that included everyone, even the people that didn't have very much. It just enveloped the whole group of people there that it touched everyone. Everyone hearing these words has a responsibility to understand. Now, we'll get back with a little more practical stuff later. Let's keep looking what happens. The disciples were astonished. Their reaction was astonishment. It wasn't just we'll think about this. No, they were like, "What is he saying? I don't understand this." It went against their beliefs, against everything that they had grown up to know. And Peter started thinking. He said, "Jesus, come to think of it, we did leave everything." You know, I suppose Peter hadn't even really thought of it that terribly much, what all he'd left. But he started thinking, I guess I did leave my father and my mother. I'm walking around in the places with Jesus here, walking around and following this man that I never knew before. And come to think of it, Jesus, what's going to happen with us? He says, let's just look here. Peter began to say to him, "Lo, we have left all, we have followed thee." Well, look at that. What's going to happen? And then there's the beautiful words where Jesus turned around. He promised something so great. I believe we can't understand it. I think we human minds just can't understand it. We need the Holy Spirit. We need some understanding. And I suppose we will never understand perfectly till we get to heaven. The real meaning of these words. Let me just read those words. He said, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the Gospels. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren, and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions." With persecutions. "And in the world to come, eternal life." Those are some of the most blessed words. I don't know, why is it so hard for us humans to turn loose? And I'm speaking from experience here. I don't want to say that I've experienced a great thing. But we've been through some interesting times the last 2 years. And it seems like the Lord asked us to turn loose of one thing, or two things, maybe three, I don't know, but not everything. It's not like we were quite losing everything, but why is it so hard for us to turn loose? Why is it that when we come to this and we say, "Lord, what are you trying to say? What am I going to have to give up?" I remember one person told me, I'm scared of telling the Lord what I have to give up. He might tell me I shouldn't live without a fridge. It was a lady actually. She said, I'm afraid he's going to tell me I should go live in the boonies and not have a fridge. Well, I was like, that's our fear. What if the Lord sends me to Africa? What if he sends me to another place? What if this? What if the other? What if people are going to think I'm weird? That might happen. I want to look at 1 Corinthians 7:29. And I think here is a little bit of a key to what God really means, what Jesus is meaning here. 1 Corinthians 7:29-31. "But this I say, brethren, that the time is short." And this was way back when Paul was preaching. This was not right now in 2011. He's saying the time's short, and it was back then. So imagine how this ought to affect us today. "But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoiced not, and they that buy as though they possessed not, and they that use of this world as not abusing it. For the fashion of this world passeth away." I think here's a little bit of the thrust. This is what Paul's saying. I don't think we can live in this world without actually using things, without using a substance of something, without using a house, a tent at least, you know, to live in or something. Shoes. I don't know. I don't think God's necessarily going to ask every person to give up every single thing in his life. It's impossible. As long as we live in this world, we're going to have interaction with the folks around us. We're going to have things to do. We're going to have jobs to do. But here, the thing that I rejoice with is this, holding it, you know, as if you didn't have it. If you got something, it's as if you didn't have it. If something is there, it's as if it had already left. It's as if it wasn't yours. And I think that's the key. Anything we have. It can start with something really small. But God's starting to call me and say, Jacinto, you need to give that up. That's not really yours. We are stewards. What ends up stewards are only somebody that takes care of the things, of someone else's things. We talk about money and financial things. That's great. Money is. Here it was saying he should sell it. But the focus isn't only money. It isn't only dollars. It's a way of life. Our things, our time, everything. And God says, I need it all. I think what Jesus asked the rich young ruler was just plain, turn it loose. Just turn it loose. Just let it go. Don't worry about it anymore. You've been trying to protect it so long. You've been trying to worry about it. Just turn it loose. And I want to think of a family in Nicaragua. Sometimes the young folks down there have to make a decision. They have to make a decision. Am I going to follow? Am I going to obey my mom, my dad? Am I going to follow what they're saying? Or am I going to do what the Lord says? And some of them, it costs them a relationship with their father. Some of them, their fathers promised to send them out of their home. Very few end up doing it. But they, you know, they'll say bad things about them because they're trying to be a Christian. And I feel like they tend to have that. God asked them to give that up. I don't know how to explain it. It seems like just about every time the Nicaraguans, when they have to serve the Lord, they have to give up their family. They have to just say, well, you know, they're not going to understand it. They can't. They don't. They ridicule me. They laugh at me. But it's like God is asking to turn it loose. I think that's sort of the way it is with all our things. God's asking us to turn it loose, to say, Lord, here it is. Now, exactly what's going to happen, I don't know. I don't believe that every single person is going to sell every single thing he has. That's not what. You don't quite see that picture in the everything. But it's a turning loose. It's a getting it out of your heart, getting out somewhere away. Businesses, houses, lands, vacations, easy lifestyles. Those things just go. When Jesus comes, He says, "I need it. I need you to just turn that loose a bit." And you know, He asks us to turn it loose. I'm remembering when we lived close to Dad's there at home in Waslada. Somebody was saying that a lot of times we get used to where we're at and talking about Lancaster County. And I said, well, you know, that's the same thing we face down there. We go out supposedly as missionaries, right? We're supposed to go out there and do something. But we get a little bit used to where we're at. And we live in Waslala, and we've lived there for 16 years, you know, and we're happy there. It's home. I married Kendra, and she likes it there. We're happy. We're close to Dad's. We have fellowship. We have social life. We have a church body right close. We had a wonderful thing. We were able to make a house, build a house before we were even married. We moved into the house as soon as we were married. Construction isn't that expensive in Nicaragua. But anyways, we'd sort of like a little dream come true. And I remember we'd always prayed and said, Lord, give us at least a year to live here. You know, give us at least, I don't know, maybe it was a little selfish, but you know, give us a little time of rest, and then if you want us to serve you somewhere, we'll go. I don't really know if we knew what we were saying. And I don't know, that's the type of prayer that I feel started changing my life. Just praying, Lord, if you want something more, just bring it. And you know, it went a year and nothing happened. But you know what? Right at a year. Right at a year, there came a call, and there was a church starting back in the boonies. And all of a sudden, it's like, who can go? And all of a sudden, I was one of the options. And I knew it, and I was like, now what? I remember praying and saying, Lord, if you want us to go, we're willing. But I also remember the flesh cringing. I don't know, that's the thing that's maybe the toughest thing of letting go is just saying, you know, I just got to let it go. Just, Lord, if you want that, I remember telling my brother-in-law, and I said it with a faith that I don't think I even quite felt. I said, if God wants us in Zapote, that's the best place for us. We're just going to go. But what happened the night when there was a lot and they were chosen? Actually, I was ordained as a minister first, and then they chose me. And it was so clear, God wanted me to go. And I remember climbing the hill that night. Our little house was perched on a hill beside a big tree. And we were climbing that hill and getting up there and bawling our eyes out, thinking that this is the end of this house and our little dream behind the dad's place. I don't know why it seems so hard, but you know what? That's why Jesus spoke the way He did. He knew that these things, our things around us, tend to make us comfortable and tend to make us enjoy life too much. Tend to make us enjoy the things that are around us. And all of a sudden, we just don't feel like going out quite as much. We don't feel like getting out of our comfort zone. And you know, that happens to every person on earth, I feel, as a Christian. Unless we keep working, unless we keep asking the Lord. And I didn't do anything great. I didn't ask the Lord. I didn't go looking for a place to go. All I did was pray and say, Lord, if You want to send us. Lord, if You have something for us, please open the doors. And I did it with a little bit of hesitation because I knew what could happen. More on that later. It's more blessed to give than to receive. I want to just see some things in Matthew and Mark 10, that some truths that we can reach out of this, get out of this passage. I can't say there's no one-size-fits-all pattern here. But I do see some truths emerging from these pages, and I just want to see a few of them. It is more blessed to give than to receive. I mentioned that in Acts it says that. We weren't going to look it up. In Acts it says it's more blessed to give than to receive. What's Jesus saying? We like to receive. Isn't that fun? Isn't that good? When we say, oh man, I was able to achieve this other thing. I like to receive. Jesus says it's better to give than to receive. And it starts making you think a little bit. I don't know. It sort of goes against what we ourselves like. That was me anyways. All of a sudden I'm thinking, going back to those places back in there, it's a lot of giving, not a whole lot of receiving. Do I really want to? Is this going to be easy? What's going to happen? And I must say, it was a battle. That's one of the things that I think God, Jesus is trying to teach the young ruler. Just give it up. Don't worry about it. I don't know what all the rich young ruler would have done if he would have followed Jesus. I'm not sure. But anyways, another thing that we see, and this is the thing that Jesus was so concerned about, that we may not trust in riches. Even if we're poor, we may not trust in riches. And that's the thing that I'd like to say this morning. I've seen some really poor people trusting in some very small things. And I've seen some very rich people trusting in some very large things. But you know what? It's all the same trust. It's all the same desire and fulfillment in something that is not fulfilling. It's really not fulfilling when it comes down to it. When we trust in them. When we feel like they are in me. They drive me. That's what gives me fulfillment. But why did Jesus say that? Why did He say that riches aren't to be trusted? Well, He said that they rot. They mold. And you know what? The robbers get them. Here, I don't know how many robbers you have around here. Doesn't seem like you're quite as blessed with them as we are, but the robbers get him. Let me just tell you a little bit what happened to the house on the hill. Actually, I sold it. It's not mine anymore, but that house on the hill was repeatedly bombarded by robbers, just the thieves. They kept coming in and breaking the iron off, the metal off the windows and getting in. If you go see it right now, it wouldn't be that pretty a sight. It has one window broken out, the iron bar broken out. Glass trellises, every time they want to get in, they just bend the bars back and pick out the glass and jump in. And you know what else happened? Just this last time I stopped in on the way up here, I just stopped in to get some stuff that I had left there. And there had been a flood and there was water all over that place. There had been water actually a few days before. It had dried up, but there was mud all over the floor. It's a cement floor at least. It was a cement house. So no major great damage was happening, but this whole thing looked like a desert. At first I looked in the window and I was like, what happened here? It looks like destruction. Well, all it was a flood had come in and flooded the whole downstairs. Why? No one was there to clean out the ditches and the water ran in. The rugs on the few rugs that were laying around had water on them, sopping wet. I didn't have time to clean it. I couldn't do anything about it. I was coming in no time. But that's what happens. That's what happens to material things. I'm not saying that means that all material things are wrong. I'm just saying that is the danger. That is what Jesus is saying. You know, don't try trusting in it. That's not going to give you anything. Someday something's going to happen to it. The people will think it's strange. That's the next point I thought of this. The people will think it's strange. If we try to live in this way, there's no way that we're going to... that the populace, the people out there, the world is not going to understand why we live this way. Let me just look at what the disciples said. They said they were astonished out of measure. This wasn't just a small thing. Jesus was saying something revolutionary enough that the disciples got shocked. And I believe that today that still is in us. And I believe that I know I grew up with this teaching. I feel like I did. But it had to come alive in my life. And this happened a few years ago. And I'm not saying that it's alive. I feel like I'm just starting to give a few little steps down this road of trusting the Lord. I haven't trusted Him in everything. It's hard. It's not easy. But when you start taking steps, it's just interesting to see what the Lord does. When you just start saying, Lord, I'm available. I'm available, Lord. Do what you need to do. And I like to see people doing it up here. It's great. I love it. Because a lot of times I think that up here would even be harder than down there. I don't know. Maybe not. But to live a life of really, really believing that I'm only a steward of what I have. I'm only taking care of it till the Lord returns. And the Lord will He'll ask me how I did, what I did. You know, what did you do with your stuff? You know, how did you use it? The people will think it's strange. To a certain point, we just got to push that out of our minds and say, well, Lord, that's okay. And those are the things that hinder us also. In another place there it says, it seems impossible, but for God, all things are possible. The disciples were so shocked about this thing, they said, well, then I don't think anyone's going to be saved. Peter was thinking, I probably can't get in then. I guess I left houses and homes. Or how is this, Jesus? But then Jesus says those beautiful words, says, everything is possible for the Lord. It's possible. It's possible for a person that has something, it is possible for him to turn that loose. And I'm not saying that turning it loose equals selling it. But I'm talking about giving it up to the Lord and saying, Lord, it's going to be yours and you take care of it. You watch after it. You make sure that it works. That doesn't mean that we're going to be lazy. I'm not talking about being lazy. I'm talking about not being worried. Not being selfish. Not being thinking it's only for me. It's a thing of saying, Lord, this is yours now. Go for it. Do what you want with it. It seems impossible, but for God, all things are possible. Everything is okay. Bit by bit. I feel like it's a journey. Don't you think that the rich young ruler had been a journey for him to follow the Ten Commandments? I suppose that came as a realization. Slowly he worked on these things till he felt he had them all. Well, then he had one more detail. Jesus didn't throw him 20 things. He threw him one thing. I think that's the way it is in our life. It comes one thing at a time, a little thing at a time. And it's not just material possessions. It can be truths of the Bible, things that other blind spots or sins or things that maybe I hadn't even thought of before. All of a sudden, here I'm smacked, something hit me in the face, and I'm, oh, now what? Bit by bit, God asked us just to give these things up. We can do small things to bless the kingdom. God wants us to use our things. They're so valuable, and I don't know, I'm just beginning to slowly realize, just a little bit it seems, how valuable things can be to win others to Christ. And that doesn't mean going handing out dollar bills all over the place. I'm not promoting that necessarily. But how much you can do with material blessings that God has given us if we just turn that over and say, Lord, it's yours, and we start beginning to use those things in that direction. Gary Miller's book was, I don't know, that was just, it came right before we moved. And I remember we were in the States and we were thinking of what all we needed to take to Zapote. And you know what? The trip to Walmart wasn't quite as exciting after all. I was like, well, now what all do you buy? Lord, maybe we don't need anything. But you know, it makes you think a little different. I don't know. It just made me think a little bit, walking up and down the aisles. Now, what would Jesus do if you were walking up here? What would He need? What are these things? I don't know if I did things the way He did it. I probably didn't, because I still end up with a bunch of things. But it's just a thing of turning loose. It's just a thing of saying, Lord, it's at Your disposal. And what I do with Your things, I want to do it faithfully and as unto You. Why was Jesus so excited about this? He loved the rich young ruler. He was excited about it. And this is one of the points from Gary's book that excited me. Before I saw the rich young ruler and his experience as just a little bit of a, not a drudgery, but just something a little bit tough, you know. Well, Gary says in his book, he says an opportunity. Jesus is seeing an investment opportunity here that you would do well to listen to. You know, there's people that will be out there counseling you where to stick your money, where to put it in your investments, stocks and whatever, in the financial markets of the world. That's typical. There's someone out there telling you, invest it there. That's going to give you the best returns. That's going to give you the best interest rates. It's the safest place. It's not going to crash when Wall Street crashes. Well, isn't that what Jesus was doing? He was just saying, hey, where is your investment? Don't invest it over there. Well, actually, He didn't even say that. He just said, invest it there. That you got 100% return, actually, 100-fold return, 100 times more on this earth, it says. And the coming eternal life. That's amazing. Jesus knew that investment was going to be so much better, that it would be better for the rich young ruler to sell what he had and invest it over there, because he knew it would be worth it for him. And if Jesus believes that it was worth it, do I believe it's worth it? That's what struck me with that thought. Do I really believe that it's worth it to invest in God's kingdom so much that I end up maybe living with less things, maybe investing things that some people may think they're strange? I don't know. But does Jesus really believe that? I'm in the middle of it. Right now I'm thinking of things in my life that I'm like, Lord, I have some things that I feel that God has asked me to give up. And I'm like, Lord, what do You want me to use them for? Or what do You want me to do with them? Or what is it to do? But the return on the investment is great. And there we go. That's where it says that we shall receive 100-fold now and this time. Houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands. And it goes on there. It is beautiful. But then it says with persecution. So it's not going to be an easy life. I mean, it's not saying, hey, you're going to have a good life. Just sit back and relax. And that's a prosperity gospel. They say that everything goes well. You just sit back and relax. God's going to give you everything. You know, I'm not agreed with that. But I am agreed that God's going to bless a person that actually turns those things around. But the question is, and that's what struck me. This is always a question for me. Okay, I believe God's going to bless us, but then what? We're just going to use it to buy a brand new pickup and to this, to that, to the other. But you know what it's for? You know why the Lord blesses us back? To go back and bless others some more. Go back and do it again. It becomes a cycle that just goes bigger and bigger in a snowball. I've heard people talk about it. But the problem is, once I sit back and I say, okay, Lord, I'm going to deposit $100 here and I want $10,000 back. Why? Because I need a so thing for myself. Well, that's not what God's talking about. He's talking about a blessing that multiplies to help others to extend who? His kingdom. I just want to share a little bit what happened to us back in Zapote, how things happened there. We could say that to a certain point we had to leave father and mother. But you know what I have back there? My father and mother, they're close. They're not that far away. I still love them. We go out there once a month, basically, and say hi to them. I didn't really give up that much. It wasn't that big of a deal, really, when it comes down to it. But you know what we have? We have a father right there. I remember when I was moving, Marcelo come up to me and said, Jacinto, God promises. He used this verse. He said, God promises that when you leave, you're going to have another father and another mother. And he says, I'm here to be your father, he said. He's one of the church members there. And I really feel like he's a father. He told me, Jacinto, you can find any spot on my land and you can make a house on it. I said, you want me to buy it? You want me to rent it? No, just use it. That's fine. Just use it. Just use it as if it was yours. And we'll see what happens later. That's fine. So I chose a little spot. And guess what? It's a little house, a little wooden house this time. Not quite as big. But it's right beside a big tree and a little creek. And it's beautiful, and we get up mornings, and there's birds singing. Things are beautiful there. I can imagine, you know, how that... Just think back, you know, I'm getting a little homesick. Maybe that's what it is. But God has blessed us so much. When I think of a mother, I think of Marina. She lives up on the hill behind us, and she comes down a lot when she's not too sick. She'd had some sickness and stuff. She couldn't come down a lot. We may visit her. But basically, every time we go, she'll line something up for us. A dozen of eggs, or a little hunk of cheese, or a little something. She's actually, I think, more concerned for us than a lot of the others. You know, she just asked us, "How are you doing?" You know, I don't know. God gave us a very caring church family. They've been very, very good to us. Then I think of a brother and a son. We don't have children. I don't know. The Lord hasn't given that to us yet. We're praying about it. But you know what God gave us? A son in Christ. A brother in Christ. His name is Uriel. And I sit up and talk with him for a long time. We have a social life even with him to a certain point. He comes down and we talk. And actually I'm giving him English classes to some of his brothers. And it's a wonderful time. And I feel like it's a fulfillment of something that I lost. In my house, I had a job. I mean, the job that I was working on was editing. I told you that. And when I moved back in there was a few months that I actually sort of ran out of a job, partly because of the communications weren't the best back in those boonies, and I couldn't get my emails back and forth right. And I started thinking, you know, I might have to get... This might mean giving up the job, too. This might mean that. And Lord, if you want that, you know, that's okay. But you know what happened? I don't know. I didn't really ask. I just sort of left it. And I'm like, well, we'll see. That was 2 or 3 months was the time I was building the house. And God just gave me a little vacation. He supplied my needs. I never had a single want. And a while later, all of a sudden, more publishing houses started knocking on my door. And said, hey, could you edit for me? Could you edit for me? And I got a raise. And I'm like, Lord, I didn't ask for that. I don't need that. I mean, I had plenty already. It's a job, actually. It's well paying for down there. And I can work very few hours a week. And keep myself going. I don't have to spend long hours anywhere. I can spend a lot of time working with people and other stuff. God gave me a mode of transportation. We have a little old mule and a mare. Kendra rides the mare and I have a mule. She's a pretty big one, but she's getting old. And everybody told me, I think that mule's not going to last long. You better do something about it. Well, she had a little baby mule, a male mule. And in 2 or 3 years, that thing ought to be big enough that I can ride it, and my old mule will be retired. So, look at that. I mean, that's just a simple little thing, but when I think of all the positives, the riches, you know what? I feel like it's about 100-fold. I'm getting close. I mean, the riches of being feeling fulfilled and doing something, and doing something and feeling something that I couldn't feel in Waslala sitting on the hill. Yes, I did some things. I know I did. And I know that I wanted to help people, but you know, it just was hard to get done. There was so much social life, even in Waslala, that it was hard to get out. We liked it a little too good. But now, we have all these riches. I say we have all these riches. God has blessed us so much. Things have gone good. I'm sitting there thinking, Lord, wow, how did this happen? I have a little water wheel and a solar panel for power to run my laptop to edit. I actually got my wife a washing machine. Hey, Lord, I didn't think that was going to be possible, but all of a sudden here it just worked out and I bought it, and she was pretty tired washing everything by hand, and stuff gets pretty dirty back in there. But then we ride to church on our mule and on the mare, and we walk past the house of a little poor family. And one day Marcelo walks up to me and says, Jacinto, that family down there, have you noticed they're a little bit puffy-faced? I said, well, sort of. I hadn't really thought of it. He said, you know, that's a lack of nutrition. I was like, well, you know, that I bet that is true. I hadn't really thought of that. I hadn't really paid too much attention to him. We'd stopped by once, but he just said, Jacinto, we need to do something about that. And he's saying, like, we don't do enough. And then I think that's what our job is. God blesses me, what? For what? So I can just turn around and bless others a little bit more. It's a snowball that'll start going. And maybe you say, maybe you think, well, that's easy to do down there. But I think it's possible here. I think there's a way of getting it started. I think there's a way of getting that snowball started and getting going. I like what Marcelo says when he talks about these things. He's actually a little bit of a pessimist. He usually is a little more pessimistic than than an optimist. But anyways, he says, we're just beginning to start doing anything. Jacinto, we really haven't done anything yet. We haven't even started giving stuff away. He's a rich farmer. He has quite a bit of land and cattle. Jacinto, we just haven't started really believing the Bible that we should help our neighbor. We're just starting. We're just beginning to understand these things. We need so much. We have so much so far to go yet. And I'm encouraged by those words in the sense that I guess we never will quite be there. We got that job ahead of us to heaven. We got it ahead of us. Maybe we can think of it as a river. Depends a little bit how deep we wade in. I think that's a little bit the way faith is. How much faith do I have? How much? The more I exercise it, the deeper I get. The wetter I get, the better it goes in that sense. How deep do I want to get in? Can I get into where I can swim? I think that'd be great. I think that's where our goal should be. And for myself, I guess I feel like I'm still just inching along the edge, just seeing, you know, Lord. And it's hard for me. I can't trust that, can I? What about this? What about the other? But as we sit down and think, Lord, you do the work. We're just here for you. God starts working that out. Let's rise for prayer. Lord, thank you this morning for this word that you've given us, Lord. This word that's straight from you. This story, Lord, I just pray that it would inspire us, Lord. Not make us sad, not make us discouraged, but that it would be an inspiration. Sort of like it has been for me, Lord, to understand that what you really want is that we understand that the best investment is in heaven, Lord. And we're so slow to understand that. We hang on to our things so greatly. And that's why you know. That's why you knew that. That's why you talk so much about that, Lord. But I just pray that you could help me in my life to go back and put my shoes on and go do it. I pray for everyone here too, Lord. You could just be with them as they keep in their journey. Do it. I know there's a lot of people, Lord, in these circles that have been applying these practices. I just pray that you could just bless them and help them, Lord, to keep going. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.